Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we will find in Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul shall abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies, that they that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because ye did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall upon one another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet, for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I think a little clarity is in order with regard to this chapter. There are those in Reformed circles today, Reformed theologians, that are saying that Leviticus chapter 26 makes it clear that at Sinai the Lord entered into, at least in some sense, a covenant of works with his people. We say, balloon juice. They didn't do that. He didn't do that, and they didn't do that. This is exactly the covenant of grace as it was administered in the days of Sinai. This is exactly the covenant of grace. Let us remember what the covenant of works is. The covenant of works is one sin and you die. That's it. Notice the Lord says, one sin and I will punish you seven times. If you continue on, I will punish you seven more times. And if you continue on, I will punish you seven more times. Three times he uses the sevens here. And of course, those sevens are meaning unto a perfect kind of chastisement and punishment. But notice, never did he said he would destroy them. As a matter of fact, what he said is that he will not cast them off to destroy them, to abhor them utterly. You see, this is the covenant of grace. You say, well, then why the rewards for doing good and the punishments for doing evil? These also belong to the covenant of grace. They are not rewards as if you merited the blessing when you did good or as if you merited the punishment when you did ill. Because meriting the punishment means you die. There is no second chance. These are chastisements to turn and to change you. Or they are blessings to encourage you to continue well-doing. You see, brothers and sisters, this is not the terms of the covenant of works. The terms of the covenant of works have no remediation. There is no such thing as repentance in the covenant of works. There is only death. And if we would keep those things in mind, we would be able to sort out Leviticus 26 much more clearly. So the Lord had His people. He brought them out of the land of Egypt, just like He said here in this passage, by grace, by mercy, and He did what? What did the Lord say here? He broke their yoke. He delivered them from their bondage so that they should serve Him. That's the covenant of grace. He brought them out from Egypt and He put them into the land. And He gave them His statutes and judgments as a part of His gracious dealings with them. And then He said, there is indeed among you those who have uncircumcised hearts. You are still in covenant with Me, but your hearts are uncircumcised. You see how this is exactly the same statement of the covenant of grace that we have today. We know that by coming up here and standing before the church and taking vows, that doesn't save us. People can take those vows and they can have crossed fingers in their hearts, can't they? Their hearts can remain uncircumcised. Their hearts can remain unsprinkled, even having the water of baptism upon their forehead, can they not? Now, we don't want to flatten out the administration of the covenant of grace such that there is no difference between the Old Testament and the New. Obviously, there are differences. But this passage sets forth several kinds of things in an Old Testament flavor that is most certainly applicable today in the New Testament. Because if we as a church, brothers and sisters, if we turn aside from the Lord and we begin to worship false gods and we erect images in the church and start doing all kinds of weird things like that, what should we expect from the Lord? Judgments, chastisements, punishments, difficulties, paucity of bread. Those same kinds of judgments, those same kinds of deprivations we should expect if we would turn away from Him. And what ought we to expect, all other things being equal, if we maintain faithfulness before the Lord? We would expect blessing. Now, there are other huge and wide and worldwide and national providential dealings that the Lord is working. And so it is in our day that faithful churches are often small and despised. And they don't get the honor that the Lord would put upon them here in His Word. We understand that. The Lord has many more things in mind. This perfect plan of His is working it out. And all we get to see is the backside of that tapestry and the loops and the strings. One day He's going to turn that tapestry over for us. And we're going to see the beautiful piece of art that the prosecution of His covenant is, truly. So some of the particulars in the passage here. Notice, first of all, don't make images. Don't make images. And it says that you will not bow down to them. Okay, so that means I can make an image but not bow down to it. Okay, well, let's think with John Murray for a minute. I think John Murray did the best work of anyone I've ever read on this. If you make an image, say a purported image of Jesus Christ, whether on the cross or that, you know, that handsome white guy that people normally put up on their wall, which didn't look anything like him. But let's just say, OK, now when you look on that, what are you supposed to do with that? Why does someone put that on their wall? To remind them of Jesus so that they might think upon Him, right? And is it possible to think upon Christ without worshiping Him? Is it possible? It's really not. That as soon as you look upon that image, you would be induced then to think worshipfully of Christ. And at that point, you have, at least in your heart, bowed down worshiping by the means of that image. That's why we don't permit them. That's why the Bible says turn away from them. That's why Calvin said, of course they teach things. They teach lies. So put the images away. Brothers and sisters, I remember one lady that was attending one of our denominational churches a little while back. She heard a sermon on that. She went home and she took down all those pictures, took them out in the backyard, poured gasoline on them and burnt them. Praise God. Praise God that she had that clarity of repentance there. So let's put that stuff away. Let's be biblical Christians. And let's not say, well, but there are many other more important fish to fry here. The Lord's made it clear. Let's be obedient. Second thing he says is, keep my Sabbaths. But that's not the only place that he says it, is it? Because a little bit later on, he's going to talk to them about that administration of the Sabbath in the Old Testament, where their land also was to enjoy a Sabbath of rest every seventh year. And they didn't do that. And so the Lord says, what? Well, then I'll take you off of the land and I'll give the land her Sabbaths for 70 years. And so he did. Don't think that the Lord doesn't take his Sabbaths seriously. He does take them seriously. And in taking them seriously, very often in Scripture, the keeping of the Sabbath day is put for the rest of the commandments of God, which is why the larger catechism says as much, that in preparation to keep it, the Sabbath, that we are preparing ourselves for a greater obedience for the rest of the commandments of God. And I will tell you this, that once the Sabbath falls away from a church's conception of holiness, so also the rest of the commandments are masked out as well. So let's be careful there. You shall keep my Sabbaths. And notice, reverence my sanctuary. Sanctuary there, kadosh, the holy place. And we know that in the days of the New Testament, there's no one place holier than another. But there are places where God's people come together to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And so as we are called upon in the Old Testament as the people of God to reverence the sanctuary of God, so also we ought to reverence the service of worship to God and not let the lightest and the slightest things take us off either from attending or giving our wholehearted worship unto Him. So then the Lord goes on to speak about if they would do these things, images and Sabbaths. That's what he speaks about. Images and Sabbaths. And in those, he says, all of my commandments. Just in those two, images and Sabbaths. And if you will walk in those, I know you'll be walking in the rest, and so I'll bless you. You'll have food in your barns, in your silos. Your animals will bring forth. Your wives will be fruitful, and you'll have large families. We'll have all of those blessings that an agrarian people in that day would have sought for as blessings. You'll have all of it. Whatever your hearts could desire, you'll have it. Now, of course, we understand there are providential dealings in that. All other things being equal, then the Lord would speak to His people that the way of blessing is the way of obedience. Then He goes on in verse 14, but if you will not. And that section goes on for quite a little while, doesn't it? And so he speaks to them about the breaches of his commandments. And he says, I will pursue the cause of my covenant. I will not let you turn my covenant of grace into licentiousness. I will punish you for your sins. You see how the covenant of grace fits there? That's what he's talking about. If you will walk contrary unto me, I will walk contrary unto you, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. Of course, what he's talking about there is he's talking about those various sieges, especially 70 AD, where we have such stories as that. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, our society is not so different, is it? Are we not making use of the bodies of our little ones, and have we not even taken stock as to why? Oh, we have turned away from God's commands, haven't we? We have walked contrary to Him, haven't we? We've called evil good and good evil, haven't we? And so why does it surprise us that we hear of such things in our culture? It ought not. So then, the Lord says that you'll fall upon one another. And we see that as well. You shall perish among the heathen in the land of your enemies. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Brothers and sisters, as bad as it is today, it could get a lot worse. And so a passage like this then calls upon us to do what? To repent. Verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, and also that they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them unto the land of their enemies. Then if their uncircumcised hearts be humbled. Oh, they had been circumcised, but their hearts never had. And they accept the punishment of their iniquity. Notice, not deliver us, but accept the punishment of their iniquity. The land also shall be left of them. I'm sorry. Then also will I remember my covenant with Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. Notice how he goes backward. He rises up to the fullest expression of that. So we're called upon in this chapter to repent, to call upon the Lord.